Whitey. This is RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
More like a test match field as he bowls to Mohan Khan on a hat-trick. And he's gone. He's got the hat-trick. Three men caught behind the wicket, two of them by Healy, and that one a comfortable waist-high catch to Mark Taylor. So Anthony Stewart has taken a hat-trick.
My word, he took a hat-trick, 24 past 7 on a Tuesday morning. Welcome to the Breakfast Club. If you've just joined us, great to have you sticking around if you've been here for a while. Anthony Stewart took a hat-trick at the MCG, if you don't mind. Chappelli could have been a little bit more excited if he wanted to be.
Right.
Was a little bit underwhelmed with the excitement level from our man Chappelli. He went on to take 5 wickets that day, Anthony Stewart, 5 for 26. January 15, my mother's birthday, 1997, was the fateful day. And he's been good enough to join us on the Breakfast Club. Anthony, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Now, you seem a bit underwhelmed by it too.
It was a long time ago. Yeah, 23 years now.
It was a long time ago, but it's an amazing moment to be taking a one-day international hat-trick at the mighty MCG of all places against Pakistan. What do you remember about that day 23 years ago?
I might have just turned 50, but I still remember a fair bit. So, yeah, look, it was my first ever game at the MCG. I'd never played a game there before. Obviously, playing for Australia was a great experience, and just some of the little things. I remember Mark Taylor was captain, and I knew I was going to open the bowling from the southern end, and you sort of walk out on the field for the first time, and you have a look at the great southern stand, was just phenomenal. And Tubby sort of said, who wants to field in front of Bay 13? And again, having seen that as a kid growing up, I thought it was too good an opportunity to pass up. So I went down there and fielded in front of the crowd down there. And the ground was only sort of half full, so still 50,000 was a big crowd. But Bay 12, 13 and 14 were full. So it was a great experience fielding in front of those guys.
I remember the day very well, Anthony, because I was driving to the game and was running a little bit late and missed your hat-trick. By the time we got there, the game was pretty much shot to bits because you'd ripped through the top out. Order.
Yeah, they were half out then by that stage,
Absolutely. I mean, because we were talking about this yesterday. It wasn't just the fact that you got a hat-trick. It was the fact that you ripped through their top order. What do you remember of the day and of some of the deliveries that you bowled? Because they were... You were getting the ball to swing. You had good pace going. It was a good day at the office.
Yeah, it was a good deck. It was favoured probably the bowlers a little bit. I think we were only chasing 180 in the end, and I think we got them 8 down or 7 down. So it was enough in it for the bowlers to keep them interested all day. Obviously Wazim Akram and Waqar Yunus, and they made it difficult for us later on. But, it was just one of those days where, you bowl like that, pretty much every week, but sometimes you get results, sometimes you don't. So we had my previous game I played was in Hobart, and I bowled pretty well down there, and I got 1. And then, like I said, bowled similarly down in Melbourne and got 5. So you just sort of try and keep it pretty simple, try and build as much pressure as you can. The game was a little bit different in those days. Now the batters are a lot more aggressive and we'll try and take a few more chances early to try and put some pressure back on the bowlers, whereas back in those days you're allowed to sort of bowl. The batters would sort of let you bowl and they'd sort of try and keep some wickets in hand and then try and increase the scoring rate later on. So there was enough in it to keep you interested and, found the edge a few times, and luckily the boys held their catches.
It was a strong team. Oh, sorry, Half. I was going to say, Half.
How many hat-tricks had you taken prior to that, Anthony?
That was my third one and last one.
Your third one and last
one? I grew up in Newcastle, New South Wales, a couple of hours north, and I got one in second grade up there from a club, Charlestown, and then I went and had a season in England. I just played down in Cornwall, and I'd taken a hat-trick in a game down there, and then, got that one in Melbourne.
Slightly different scenes there at the MCG, perhaps Cornwall, the second 11 in Newcastle. Yeah, and at the top of the mark, what were you thinking after the second wicket? What were you thinking at the top of the mark for that third and final delivery?
Yeah, I do get asked that question a bit. It's a good one because it sort of something only really that I know. I remember sort of standing there, and I was trying to be fairly calm about it. And I remember looking at the scoreboard on the right-hand side. So obviously, if you know cricket pitches, they run north-south. Or at the MCG, the scoreboards are east and west, obviously behind the AFL goals, because that's the way the field runs for AFL.
Yep.
I remember looking to my right, and I looked at the scoreboard, and the scoreboard was black, and then in big white writing, it just said, Anthony Stewart is on a hat-trick, and it just hit me, and I went, oh, geez, I am too, you know, like I knew I was. It just made it that much more real, I suppose. So I took another deep breath, and I remember trying to call out, Peter Parker was the umpire, and Carol Hare was a square leg, and I remember trying to call out to Peter about how many balls to go in the over. He couldn't hear me, so I didn't worry about it. I was standing at the end of my mark, so I'm, you know, 25, 26 metres away. And I just remember thinking, just, you know, keep it simple, hit the deck, top of off, give yourself a chance. And Tubby had brought in a third slip. I think Stewie Law was at third slip by that stage. And so the field was fairly attacking, and I thought, well, I've got nothing to lose here. Yeah, just keep it simple, hit the deck, top of off, see what happens. And sure enough, that's what happened, and Mohan Khan went at it pretty hard. He obviously probably wasn't expecting to be batting at that stage, and you know, thankfully for me, he sort of played with a bit of an open face, and it just did a little bit off the wicket away from him, and yeah, just sort of got a good piece of the bat. Mark Taylor sort of went down to his left, and he'll sort of let it. Usually the ball goes to the keeper's right, it's his ball, if the first slip's got to go to his left, but luckily, Tubby sort of anticipated it, and I remember when he nicked it, I remember running down the wicket, and I went, oh, he's nicked it. And then then when Tubby's caught it, the split second later, oh, he's caught it. And then, you know, I just kept running down the wicket, so I had sort of both hands in the air. And, yeah, it was a...
It was an amazing moment.
Yeah, I can only imagine what it's like on an AFL Grand Final day or Boxing Day, but the noise for 50,000 was phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a great story. It's a terrific story. The kicker to it, Anthony, and part of the reason I wanted to talk to you is that was the last time you represented Australia. You've taken a hat-trick. You've taken 5 for 26 off 10. You've basically won the match for them, and you were player of the match, funnily enough, and you never played again. What happened?
Oh, there's a few things. I think at the end of the day, you probably don't bowl as well as probably what you need to be after that. I know there's a few little things. The fourth test against the West Indies was a couple of weeks later, and I was close. I know Andy Bickle and I, Andy sort of made his debut in the same game I did a couple of games earlier, and he was given the nod for the fourth test. So then my next game was for New South Wales, was a Shield game, ironically at the MCG as well against the Vics. And it was a day-night Shield game. And I remember late on day three, was under lights, and start of the Victorian second innings. It was the fourth innings of the game. And so the foot marks were starting to get a little bit worn, and my front foot hit the corner of a foot mark, and I tore the ligaments in my ankle. And I came back for the last Shield game New South Wales played in Perth, and I was trying to get myself fit for the 97 Ashes tour. I played that game, didn't bowl well enough, wasn't picked. Paul Rifle, I think Jason Gillespie, obviously, you know, Pigeon, McGrath, yeah, they were all picked in front of me, and you know, fair enough. So then, yeah, by the next season I was playing. I got 7 wickets against WA in Sydney, but yeah, guys like Brett Lee, Nathan Bracken, Stuart Clark, Matthew Nicholson was on the scene in WA. You know, there was a lot of competition for spots at that stage, and the next season probably didn't bowl as well enough, and that's just sort of how it panned out. I was sort of 28, 29, you know, those next two seasons, and yeah, Brett was 23, 24 making his test debut, so it just sort of, it was just one of those things where, you know, there was a fairly steep rise, and then, you know, you get an injury and you probably don't bowl as well, and it's, you know, probably just as quick a drop off, and that's how it panned out.
How does that sit with you, Anthony, that you know, you got that sample of it, you played your three games, you get the hat-trick, and that it didn't happen again. Does it sit comfortably with you, or do you often think what might have been? What sort of goes through your mind when you reflect back?
Oh, very fortunate to have played three games. You know, like, I didn't play any rep cricket as a kid. I just played club cricket, so, you know, you hear about the pathways and so on that the boys come on, and I was a bit of a late bloomer. I was probably a better soccer player than a cricketer up until the age of about 21, and I didn't move to Sydney till I was 23. You know, I played great cricket. You know, I played 10 years of great cricket. I got my level 2 coaching certificate, then my level 3 coaching certificate. Now, I'm still involved in the game now at 50 years of age, and, you know, the game's given me a lot more than that I could ever, you know, possibly think of giving back. And, you know, to still be involved in the game that I love, you know, growing up as a kid that I played in Newcastle in the street. And, you know, I feel very, very fortunate to have played three games, particularly in such a great era of Australian cricket against, you know, some of the best players we've ever had. So I don't have any regrets at all, none at all.
I wouldn't imagine you would, and you've got that magic moment of a hat-trick at the MCG, which not many players have on their resume. Anthony, it's nice to be able to go down memory lane with you today. We appreciate you answering our call and reliving the memory for us on The Breakfast Club. Thanks very much and good luck.
Pleasure, guys. Thank you.